6 minutes after the 12 o'clock hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by Chevron. Joining me now, this is already like one of my favorite guests. We've just started to get to know this guy here on the show. Knew of him, of course, but Mike Sanford joining the program for the second time this week. Mike, my friend, thank you so much for getting back on the program.
I'll tell you what, it's good to be back on, man. I'm surprised you had me back on after last time was a Wi-Fi calling malfunction disaster that set my entire family in a state of panic because I wanted to buy out all different kinds of technology to make sure it never happened again.
Well, it was that good a radio, man. I mean, even in the spurts that we got when you were cutting in and out, everything in between was fantastic. So, of course, we got to get you back on the show.
Well, I appreciate you having me back on, and there's a lot to talk about, especially here in the Front Range. A lot of ball coming up this weekend.
Oh, my goodness.
So appreciate you having me on.
Yeah, no, it's crazy to me because, you know, we talk a lot of sports on the show. We talk a lot of different teams. You know, we're not just the Broncos, not just the Rams, not just the Buffs, but it's nuts to me. It's Broncos Raiders week, but the most interesting story in town is certainly Colorado and Nebraska. No question about it in my mind.
Yeah, it might not just in town, right? I mean, that might be in the sports world. This is the game. You know, even college football, even College Game Day, they're not even like hosting there, but they sent their entire crew to go and check out what was going on for the game week. And you know, I've been fortunate in my career to be a part of some weekends like this: Stanford, Oregon, back in the Mariota luck days, and you know, even at Notre Dame when we played at Clemson, it was Deshaun Kaiser, Deshaun Watson, and you know, these kinds of moments are a humongous deal, and to think that it doesn't impact the coaches and the players is absolutely nonsense. It does. You feel the magnitude when you're playing in these types of environments with these types of stakes on the line. So it's going to be a heck of a weekend. I'll be there. I'm going to Folsom Field. My wife and I are going, you know, which is kind of strange that I just got let go just 10 months ago. But I love college football and I want to cover it for a living here, possibly going forward. So, you know, I got to go see exactly what's going on in Folsom Field and what's going on in Boulder with Prime.
Mike,
what he's doing.
I have so much respect for that, too, because, again, just seeing you on Twitter, and I've heard a lot of your radio stuff, too. There's a lot of coaches that if they move on, the team moves on from them, whatever. I mean, I've seen it here locally. Ed McCaffrey scrubbed his entire Twitter page of all things UNC. It's like it never existed. That never happened. What I really respect about you is, you know, not the most ideal situation for you at the end of things last year, even though there's a lot of people rooting for you, but you are still like, hey, at the end of the day, this is an entertaining program, and I want to be able to promote and talk about this program. So I got a lot of respect for how you handle your business, my friend.
I appreciate that, and it really is something that I've never seen in college football. I mean, I truly have never seen a transformation of a program, and it's not even just the fact that they won the opening game against the you know, a team that was in the CFP final a year ago, but it's just the way in which it was done. You know, I count me as one of the people who was just like, hey, let's see how this goes. I mean, you know, you can say that there were haters or I was a hater. I don't even think I was. I was just kind of in, hey, this is going to be interesting to follow as a lifelong college football aficionado and somebody who's done it, played it. It's never been done before. And I think the storyline from week one obviously was what CU did at TCU in a hostile environment, but also what Texas State did to Baylor. And that was a complete roster makeover as well. It was 67 new players, which I guess that seems like a small transformation compared to the 87 in Boulder. But either way, I mean, those two teams humongous upsets, especially against the spread.
Mike Sanford joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Well, and I want to talk about some of those crazy games too, those matchups. But for you in particular on this note with the Buffs, is it tough? I mean, was it tough initially? Because I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I mean, you wanted that job, and then when you see what happens with primetime coming in, and he said, I'm bringing Louie with me, I'm getting rid of everybody essentially, and I know it happens differently than it's kind of posed there, but What was going through your mind when you're hearing all this stuff? Because you were a part of this team last year, and you were thinking maybe I can be the guy to turn this thing around. What was that like for you, man?
Well, the whole thing was an emotional roller coaster. Starting with just even when I got the job, you know, I was going through a background check for a month, And so it wasn't public. It was, I knew I was going to see you. Nobody else did except for myself and, you know, the administration and Carl Durrell. And while that was going on, 23 players entered the portal, you know, and it was, I think it was like 12 or 14 starters, you know, so that was emotional. You're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? And we obviously ended up having to start a whole bunch of freshmen and sophomores. But in the process of going through that year, I developed such deep relationships with those players. So of course, you know, naturally when I was watching everything from afar, you know, in terms of the roster being turned over, you know, of course I care about those kids. I had relationships with those kids. But they all found homes and it all worked out. It's a new way of college football. It's probably why I'm a little bit more comfortable talking about it than doing it, to be real candid. It is what it is. And, you know, I had a chance to be around, you know, Coach Prime for about 36 hours. I was in the building, maybe 3 days. So, you know, I met with him one-on-one. I met with Shadur one-on-one. And, you know, I was obviously really impressed with the energy that was brought in. I was impressed with, you know, the thing that really stood out to me was an undying confidence. And some people call it cockiness. I think, a lot of people mistake, you know, what Coach Prime does as being just out, you know, blatant cockiness. But the crazy thing is that all of it's come true. Like, literally everything he said came true. He said he was going to bring his Louis, and clearly I was coach. So I wasn't a part of that, right? And it is what it is. And everybody's got their own lot in life, and everybody's got their path and their journey. And I'm really, really satisfied with my journey, and I know what they're doing there and what the players that had to leave, they're doing very well and thriving at other programs. So, you know, it's just part of the new college football, and I think Coach Prime truly reinvented college football in just that week one opener with how well that roster turnover performed.
Well, and you can tell by, you know, just when we had you on earlier in the week, we had so many texts, so many people say, man, they love hearing you on the radio talking, all that stuff. So, I mean, in a short time, Mike, I mean, you gained a lot of respect from people in this area. And I think you continue to do that with the way you're approaching this with the Buffs, because many people would say that was an awkward situation, and you are handling it as good as anybody could.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, I think I've learned a lot. I mean, you can either, you know, have bitterness and resentment, or you can find ways to improve yourself. And I think that's what I'm doing right now, is embracing, you know, the new reality of college football and even embracing possibly a pivot for myself, to maybe go into the media side of things and, doing these types of interviews and, you know, spotlighting a little bit coming up here on, I'm going to be on NBC 9 News, after the Broncos games on Monday morning. So there's going to be some exciting things. I'm actually going to be on tomorrow morning on 9 News, covering this game. So there's plenty of opportunities to be had. And, I'm really thankful for the experience I've had in the game of football, so that I can talk about it and have some expertise and continue to get better at this new craft.
Oh, and you certainly have the backing to do that with, like we talked about earlier, with that resume of yours. Mike Sanford joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. Looking at this game, obviously there are believers. There are believers now after seeing what we saw with CU and TCU. However, this Nebraska game presents kind of a new challenge. Now, I know Matt Rhule's new there. They didn't get what they wanted last week on the offensive side of the ball, but this is a much different team than TCU, so it does present kind of a new, unique challenge already for these very well-talked-about Buffs at this stage.
Yeah, so I coached at Minnesota before coming to CU. I was the offensive coordinator for PJ Fleck, so I watched that game very carefully last Thursday night. And, you know, to be honest, I thought it was one of the best college football games outside of probably the TCU-CU game and the Florida State-LSU first half. I thought it was, you know, just tremendous football. And, you know, I played against Nebraska. I coached against Nebraska under Scott Frost. And, you know, they were just a strange team because they could score. But it was weird. There was just like a finishing that was lacking. And there was also just an overall overt toughness that was kind of interwoven into the DNA of that program that I didn't see in those years that Frost was there. You know, it was a bit more of a kind of a scheme offense than it was like a punch you in the mouth. And I know Minnesota is probably almost cornered the market of a physical brand of running the football, playing suffocating defense. So I was really impressed with what I saw, particularly in the line play in the front seven defensively, you know, from Nebraska. I mean, you know, Minnesota, the last time I saw them held to 2.2 yards per carry on the ground, I think it's probably been 5 years. And I was extremely impressed with how they fit the run game, how they tackled. And you could tell that, Matt Rhule has transformed the mindset and really the DNA of Nebraska football almost back to the roots of who they are. Now, the problem with that is I don't know if they can keep up with the scoring that CU is going to present. I just don't see it. I don't see the dynamic playmakers on the edge. Jeff Sims is going to have to run the rock a lot. And I don't know if that's necessarily what they want to do to play the long game of the 23 season. But if they want to have a chance to do what I think a lot of people think is unthinkable, Jeff Sims is going to have to be a war daddy on the ground and use his legs, because I didn't really see the plus traits in the pass game from Jeff Sims.
Yeah, it wasn't one of those overwhelming games there for Sims, and a few interceptions too. But he, like you talked about, he was able to get going downfield and run the football. But this is a Nebraska team that wants to get back to more of that traditional style with the fullback and all of that. And we didn't really see, other than Sims running it, we didn't really see that from this team. So I know that's the game plan down the road. We'll see how long it takes for that to take hold.
Yeah, and I will say, like, against that Minnesota defense, Joe Rossi, the defensive coordinator, is one of the best defensive coordinators in all of college football. Very normal, it's very standard to see a team rush for 75 yards that is a traditional run-first offense against Minnesota. And to be honest, as I watched that game, I was watching saying, this is as good as I've seen the football run against a Joe Rossi-led defense in a while. And it might not have showed up in the stat line, but, you know, kind of controlling the time of possession, almost kind of playing the Minnesota game against Minnesota, I was impressed. I was impressed with their line play. I was impressed with how hard their backs run. And when Jeff Sims is a true viable threat to run the football, which I think they got away from a little bit in that game, especially in critical situations, I think that's something that obviously, you know, the CU defense is going to be prepared for, because he is a major threat, big, strong, physical runner.
Mike Sanford joining us on our First Advantage Hotline. You look at this Buffs team, I mean, my goodness, electric, one of the many words that comes to mind. Shedeur Sanders absolutely dazzled people. You had four receivers, well, running back turning into a receiver, with over 100 yards receiving. Travis Hunter is ridiculous. I mean, okay, what stood out to you the most when we're talking about all those guys? Travis Hunter, Shedeur Sanders, Dylan Edwards, Xavier Weaver, Jimmy Horn, all those guys getting over 100 yards. What was the biggest thing that you walked away and basically went wow to?
All of it. I tweeted out after the game, and I don't think I was being, you know, a prisoner of the moment, if you will, that I really do believe that there are three CU offensive players, and really one of them's a offense and defense, plays everything, you know, in Hunter. But there were three players in that game that emerged as Heisman conversationalists. I mean, they're, you know, you have Edwards and Weaver, you know, and then Hunter and Shedeur. I mean, it's truly unbelievable. But Shador's, I think his accuracy and his poise, it really, really stood out to me. And you know, even he said it after the game, his quote was, "Not bad for an HBCU FCS guy," and he was right. You know, he was 100% right. It was pretty impressive. And I think even coaches like myself, guys that have done this for a long time, we were kind of thinking, hey, how's he going to handle the pressure? Shoot, there wasn't any pressure. You know, majority of the game was a three-man rush from TCU. They played a soft zone, and he absolutely picked it apart with incredible accuracy. You know, the CU receivers caught the ball incredibly well. Obviously did a lot with run-after-catch opportunities. You know, but I think that, you know, any time that they rushed four or five, you know, I think the success numbers dipped a little bit. Although the one down the field shot that I knew was coming once TCU made the adjustment to play kind of a five down bear structure and rush five, they had to play cover one behind it, man coverage. And Xavier Weaver over the top for a 50-yard gain completely answered, I think, the question, can they handle, you know, man coverage, tight coverage with pressure and rush? And you know, they answer the question. They certainly can. So I think that's going to be the Nebraska game plan, in my opinion, is, you know, present more of a pass rush, make them earn, you know, plays downfield, because they are, by virtue of just standards of football and analysts, as they say, would be just lower percentage completion plays. And if you can get, you know, them a little bit off rhythm, which TCU didn't do really in four quarters, then I think it gives Nebraska a shot to compete. If they have the same game plan, it's going to be a bloodbath, because Nebraska will have no ability to stay up with the scoring that CU presents.
Yeah, we had Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, is like, you're going to have to score 35 to beat this team. I mean, that's probably what it's going to look like down the stretch. I mean, these teams going up against the Buffs going to have to get into the 30s.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a combination. I mean, 30s would be assuming that the offense that they're facing is not as playing ball control. That's sure. going to be key, you know, because I think you have to slow down the game. You know, you got to keep your defense off the field because of just the sheer number of athletes that are out there on the perimeter. I'm telling you, this Dylan Edwards kid, man, holy cow. I don't think enough people are talking about him nationally. True freshman, first game. I was blown away. Just the threat of him as a pass catcher out of the backfield, 4 touchdowns, made you miss. You know, I think he's a 10-200 meter type of an athlete, which is just mind blowing. I don't think I've coached an athlete that fast since Bryce Lovett at Stanford. And, you know, he Dylan Edwards was as advertised.
No, he was. You're right. There were so many storylines from that game. That's certainly one of the big ones too. How about Travis Hunter? Can he keep this up all year? Did he go 140 snaps? Because I've heard anywhere from 125 to 139, 142. Either way, it was a lot. Can he keep that up all season?
Travis Hunter, the official stat on how many plays he had was 100 plus a lot more than anybody else in the history of college football has ever done. So I'm never going to doubt this kid, and I'm looking forward to seeing him with my own eyes. You know, I mean, he's the ultimate competitor. The play that stood out to me was the interception right after, you know, the sequence of him running across the field, showing incredible speed. I think they had him tracked at 21.7 miles per hour to save that touchdown. And then I think it was like one or two plays later, they ran a mesh concept, a crossing concept, and slipped the running back on a wheel out of the backfield. You know, Travis wasn't even supposed to be covering him. He was man-to-man coverage with the receiver on a shallow cross. And he saw it. He sniffed it. He remembered it from practice. And frankly, he did what he's not supposed to do, which is come off his man. And guess what he did? He changed the game. And that's what real elite players do, is that when they do gamble and when they do trust their instincts, they hit pay dirt, and that's exactly what he did. And I don't doubt this kid for one second.
It was an you're right. That was an amazing play. He is a ridiculous athlete, and it's must-see. A lot of these guys are must-see television. He's certainly one of them. Mike, we appreciate you so much, man. Okay, so can you predict? Are you doing predictions for us?
Sure,
I saw the Buffs are -3.5 now. Where are we going?
I think this game's going to be a little different to start out. I predicted the Buffs would start out on fire against TCU, and then I said I didn't really know what was going to happen from there. I think this game's going to start out a little nervy. I do. I don't think it's going to be nearly as much of a track meet. You know, both teams going down and scoring in the first quarter and second quarter. I think it's going to be a little bit more contested, but I think the weapons that CU has and Shador will settle in the second half. And I think they win and easily cover.
Well, it should be a wonderful, man. I mean, like you said, nationally, everybody's paying attention to this Buffs team. It's absolutely crazy. Mike, great job. I love your stuff. I follow what's going on with Boise State, too, and I've seen some of your radio stuff with those guys. I absolutely love it. So let's stay in touch, my friend. Let's keep doing this.
Absolutely. I don't live too far from you, man. I'm in Northern Colorado myself, so. I'd love to come up and visit you guys in the studio and see what you guys got going on. I really enjoy your show, and you guys do great stuff.
I appreciate you, man, and we want to get to talk to you more and more. And anytime, you are welcome in this studio. We moved locations too. We're not, we don't have rain leaking on us anymore, so it's really exciting. Mike, appreciate you, my man.
I appreciate you, and it's gonna be a great weekend of football and a little NFL appetizer tonight. Can't wait for it all, and it's gonna be something that all of us football fans are looking forward to.
All right, 20 seconds here, Mike. Chiefs covering 4.5.
You know what? I heard about the injuries from Kansas City. I really like what Danny Campbell's doing up there in Detroit. I think that the Lions are gonna find a way.
You think they're gonna get the dub?
Yeah, I think they're going to find a way to at least backdoor cover.
Okay,
I'm not going to ever bet against Mahomes ever again, but I do think it's going to come down to a field goal or possibly even an overtime type situation.
Hey, let's just have a great football game. We're in it now. We're in. Mike Sanford, appreciate you, my man. Love all that you're about, and look forward to catching up with you again.
Hey, appreciate it. Thanks for having me on the show.
All right, man. Mike Sanford. He was the interim head coach for CU last year. And got their one win. He was the guy. He was in charge. And I think there was a lot of people that were excited about the possibilities of Mike Sanford. And enter prime time changes everything. Mike Sanford, probably going to be joining us maybe once, maybe a couple times a week. keep that connection going. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor. Ryan Hicks is my guy. And I didn't mention this, but Mike's doing some stuff with Mead, too. He is one of their assistant coaches over there. And the reason I bring that up with Renaissance Insurance, they support all of these local programs, Preps, the University of Northern Colorado, entities throughout Northern Colorado. So I always say this. There's a lot of insurance groups out there. Number one, you want one that's going to be able to handle your stuff. And well, with a name like Renaissance Insurance, we know how popular they are. But it's also one, how are they in the community? What are they doing to give back to that community? And that's, again, where Renaissance Insurance Group comes in. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Call my guy, Ryan Hicks, at Renaissance Insurance, 970-674-8825. 26 minutes after the hour, we got Eric Lacroix coming up. This is a star-studded show on Gel. And we still haven't even touched the Thursday night special. That's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Scores, interviews, and more. Preps Rewind with Mike Danson. Saturdays at 10 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.